HD Kansas City, WTAF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Sports Station.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun,
if you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day, come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
That's right,
there
baby.
It is.
That's right, baby.
First place.
How's it feel, Minnesota? How you doing? How's it feel, Cleveland? How you doing? Hey, Yankees lost. Houston lost. Royals have won 3 straight against Cleveland. Going for a fourth. God, it feels good to be in first.
Woke up to a text message this morning from our friend Kurt Nelson at the Royals Hall of Fame. He goes, it's August 28th. Do you know where the Royals are? First place. That's where the Kansas City Royals are today as you're waking up this late into the season. And I broke out this shirt that I haven't probably worn in about 8 years. We own the Central, Dusty, and that's right. Where the Royals are right now. And it's marvelous. It's magnificent. It's outstanding. And I don't want to be the I told you so, but last week I told you so. They're winning this division because Cleveland is a team that is done, and the Royals are playing great baseball, and they're getting it now from other areas of the team that haven't been produced. The bullpen has been spectacular in this series. They were spectacular last night in a game where they didn't expect to be pitching and then sitting for 2.5 hours and, you know, having to do that all song and dance and whatnot last night. But they're getting it from the bullpen. They're getting it from other guys in the lineup, not named Bobby Witt in this series. Mm-hmm. And they have now taken over first place in the American League Central. And now I'm going to tell you what, man, it's on. It is freaking on now with this baseball team because they're still playing with confidence. They're playing inspired baseball. They're playing fun baseball. They got that taste of winning, and they don't want to give it up, man. It's unbelievable to see what this team is doing. They were 10 back at the beginning of July, roughly, and now they're tied with the Cleveland Indians for first place in the American League Central, and I don't think anybody's going to tell the Royals they're not winning this division right now, and I don't think anybody in their right mind is picking anybody but the Royals to win this division right now based on the way that they're playing ball.
It's amazing to see, considering what last year was and where this team is this year, because the biggest part about this whole series and this whole thing was the riptide or the gauntlet of the next 20 games. And they've played 6 of them. They've won 4 of them.
Right.
Right. And everybody at the start of it, which I'd asked, is 10 out of 10 or 10 and 10 good on this 20 game. Might be better than that now.
Yeah, it might be better than that now. Yeah. And 10 and 10 right now. I'm not signing up for that.
No. And you know, obviously things, whatever, can change. But the thing that's great is that when you need things to go right for you, or when you need things to be the way that you want them to be, it has to be at certain times and everybody has to kind of be on board. That's not, I guess that is kind of a ship analogy. But the thing about this has not been an easy 3-game win set. This is against Cleveland, who has been in the lead in the Central since, I don't know, 3-4 months
ago. Day one, right? Really, right? Yeah.
And not only that, but Cole Reagans gets hurt in the 2nd game.
Right.
And you got to use your bullpen.
Right.
And everybody showed up when what's been the biggest thing that's caused all this to cuss and scream, the Royals bullpen.
Right, exactly.
And then yesterday, Lorenzen slips and slides, hamstring goes awry. Bullpen steps up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a 2.5-hour rain delay. We're all sitting there thinking to ourselves, like, what are we doing? Like, are they really going to play that? They checked radar. Rain delays are terrible. Whatever. And they come back and they put up more runs and they win 5-1.
Right.
They've handled Cleveland. And it seems that at the right time, like, you've been waiting for this arrival of, like, this Royals revival. And when you look at what's happened here, your offense has really started to click right where it needs to be. MJ Melendez has shown up in a big moment.
Yep.
Your bullpen has shown up in a big moment. And this is why you're in a position of first. This is why there is discussions now that Royals manager Matt Cotrero, who will join us at 9, should be the manager of the year. Like, no matter what.
Well, I mean, there's no more discussion of that. Like, the Steven Vogt conversation has to end right now. His team is collapsing, and the Royals are building this monstrosity of a dominating, you know, force in the American League Central, not just for this year, but you can look at it for years to come now with the way that this organization is built and the way that they're doing things right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Matt Cotrero is the clear manager of the year in the American League, and I don't think there's really any debate about that. And to me, he's done a nice job of pushing all the buttons, but all those buttons have to go out there and produce. And I want to tip my cap to the bullpen right now, Dusty, because I was very hard. I mean, I flat out said they stunk for a while, and they did. I mean, there's nothing to say that we were wrong about that, but you can turn things around. That's the beauty about sports. And it's also what is the unbeauty about sports is that people get wedded to their opinion. And even as things present themselves and you get evidence otherwise, there are people who don't want to change their thought process and their opinion. It's easier to be negative. It's easier to stick to, you know, they're still not going to do it type of stuff than to be able to look at it and realize, you know what? This bullpen has been outstanding in this Cleveland series. I mean, you want to talk about a sack on a bullpen right now. This thing is as big as it can possibly be because they have been put into situations that I think if you would have told me on Monday that Cole Reagans has to get hurt and you got a bullpen game, Michael Lorenzen goes down early, you have a bullpen game, 2-hour rain delay and more bullpen, I would have said we're screwed, right? Going into this series, you would have said that. Mm-hmm. This bullpen right now is starting to prove those doubters wrong. And with 29 games to go in the regular season, they got to keep up this pace right now. MacArthur's looking good. Schreiber's looking good right now. How about Carlos Hernandez last night coming in and pitching 2 1/3 of, you know, great baseball, and guys are making plays behind him right now. Like, to me, we got to tip our caps to the guys that aren't Salvi, that aren't Bobby, that aren't Michael, or that aren't MJ, that aren't Vinny Pasquantino. It's the bullpen who did it last night. DeYoung coming up big last night with a home run early. Garcia and Massey having big nights. Like, this is what winning is all about. This is how you win games, by people on the roster that aren't your stars picking up the slack, stepping up when others go down, and last night was a prime example of that, and that's why the Royals are in first place, and they're not letting go of this thing.
No, I think, you know, and obviously I'm not going to sit here and say the bullpen's fixed or that the bullpen is, you know, trustworthy as of right now, but to, like, your point, to give them credit where credit is due, and we've heard Vern say this, we've heard other people maybe kind of mention it, but Vern always hits it hard. The way that this Royals team is going to be successful and the way that this team is going to move deep into the playoffs is starting pitching, defense, and speed.
Yep.
And you can go back in this series of Cleveland and see what got you wins and what was the reason why. MJ Melendez, I guess you can call it defense and speed in the same play, making that diving play in left field. Your bullpen pitching. Reagans goes out after 4 innings. The bullpen goes 5 innings, gives up 4 hits and 1 earned run.
Mm-hmm. They've given up 1 or 2 earned runs in like 16 2/3 innings or something like that. That's insane.
Right. And then last night you have Lorenzen go out. Hernandez comes in and spot starts him. Then they get the rain delay.
Yep.
And the Royals bullpen goes 5 innings. They gave up 0 hits. They struck out 5 and they walked 0.
They were masterful last night.
And MacArthur had 4 strikeouts and 2 innings.
And that's not doing it against the White Sox, fellas. That's doing it against the team that, you know, was in first place and owned first place for a very long portion of this season. The Royals are now beating a team that was ahead of them in the standings, that everybody perceived to be a good team for most of the year, and they're now taking care of business. And you know, I've always said, you know, you got to keep a losing team losing. This Cleveland team was a losing team coming into this series, and this is exactly what the Royals are doing. They're keeping that losing team losing, and that's Cleveland right now. Like, you get into funks, and this Cleveland team is very reminiscent to me. Remember in 03 when the Royals started out really good? They were like 19-4 or whatever it was to start the 2003 season, and we were all excited about everything that was going to happen that year, and they ended up finishing in third place, right? They ended up finishing outside the playoffs, but it was a fun year. We had a good time, right? And then, you know, 20 years later until we win a World Series or whatever it was, right? So that's where I think Cleveland is right now. They're like that 2003 version of the Royals. They started out great, lived high on the hog, I think that's the saying, for a very long time based on the way that they started the season, And now you're starting to see a catch up with them. They're not as talented. They're not as good. But, man, they got that great start at the beginning of the year. They milked that start for a very, very long time. And now time is just catching up with them. Their rotation hasn't been that good. Offensively, they're very challenged offensively right now. Their bullpen hasn't been that good. And all of that's starting to catch up with them. And so that's what I compare this Cleveland team to. They're the 0-3 version of the Royals. Great start and then petered at the beginning. The Royals had a very nice start, right? They were fine at the beginning of the year. Nothing spectacular, but they got better and developed confidence and got better and developed confidence. And they're doing basically what everybody does kind of in life. The more you do something, the better you get at it and the more confident you become. And I don't know that anybody's playing with more confidence right now than this Kansas City Royals baseball team.
The best part about it is that what you said earlier, that sometimes you have to give other people credit.
That's well hit into right center field. Go ball. It will go indeed into the third row. Paul DeJong goes to the opposite field.
We might have ourselves the 2014-2015 version, of Ben Zobrist.
Could be. Could absolutely be, yeah.
He's got 23 homers on the year.
Yeah.
I believe he's got six since joining the Royals.
He's been
somewhere
really
in that
good.
Ballpark.
Yep.
But this is what you need in these types of runs, right? This is what, and I mentioned this, you don't necessarily need the bullpen to be this bullpen. It would be nice.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I'm going to be a realist here. But in this time of the year against these teams where your fan base, and everyone can be fair here, would say, can you be the good teams? Kansas City has gone into Cleveland, and they've beaten Cleveland. Is it our fault that Cleveland's in a downward spiral?
No.
Is Cleveland still the first-place team? They're technically still in first place.
Right.
Now, the best part about this is you've won the series.
Right, and you've won the season series
now,
too.
So now you've got the tiebreaker.
Right.
So if you do, so you huge advantage.
Huge.
And, yeah, you may not sweep. Yeah, but you might not sweep them, but there is a possibility that you might be a game out. But now it's to the point where, like, this is the best part, is that they know that there are pieces on this team that can be productive, the team and opponents. And now Cleveland knows that you're not going to go away. Like, oh, they can't beat the good teams. Well, they just came in and they kicked our ass. They're 7-2 against us on the season this year. They have the advantage. We now know the Royals aren't going anywhere. And they're now the car in the fast lane that they saw coming. Maybe they'll slow down. And now they're on their backside bumper. And Cleveland has to either get out of the way or get speed. And where I'm looking at it, it looks like they're probably going to get in the middle lane and the Royals are going to try to get there and coast. And look, it's not just Cleveland doing it. Minnesota's doing it too.
Yeah, I was telling you the other day, I was driving home from the game. We were on 435, and all of a sudden, these two BMWs come up behind me, and they boom right by you. Like, it scares you a little bit, right? It kind of jolts you. And Dusty goes, yeah, you're probably a little shaken about that. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening to this Cleveland baseball team right now. They are getting motorboated by the Kansas City Royals. They are going out there, and they are starting to sink, and they are getting blown by the Royals. I mean, the Royals are those two BMWs that flew past me the other day on 435. Vroom, right by them. And there's nothing Cleveland can do right now, because now they've got the mindset that they can't win. They're going into games knowing that they're losing this game. And 90% of the time when you go in with that mindset, you're going to lose that baseball game or whatever it is in life, right? You go in thinking you're not going to get something done. You're not going to get something done. And there's all that doubt in the heads of the Cleveland team. There's no doubt whatsoever in the heads of the Royals right now. They believe that they can win. They believe that they're going to dominate. They believe that they're going to kick your ass. And that's why the Royals, my friends, are sitting atop of the division right now in first place. What a great time to be alive. A three-peat begins next week. The Royals are in first place. You don't find a better sports city than what's going on in Kansas City right now.
Praise be. Royals 2.5 game lead over the Minnesota Twins. They have a tied record with the Cleveland Guardians in first place, and the wild card doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You're the
division leader. Wild card.
Baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/swish. Max Maury, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey with you. Damn glad to have you on a Wednesday, a glorious Wednesday.
A first place Wednesday, Dusty. It's a first place Wednesday here.
That's right. I thought this text was hilarious. from the 660. Speaking of Bobby Witt, are we thinking that maybe it's time he gets a day off or two? The dude is starting to look a little bit tired, and going into the playoffs, maybe it would be a good idea.
You can sleep in November.
I'll tell you this. Off day Thursday, correct? Or maybe not.
Is it know.
They
is
go
it?
Straight to Houston?
Do they?
But I'll tell you this. If you want to go into the Royals clubhouse and walk up to number 7 and say, hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Looks like you're a little bit sluggish. How about you take a day? How about you take a seat, my guy?
Yeah.
He's going to look you in the face, laugh, and say, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, like
we're, and I think he'd say that to Q as well.
Well, I think everybody would,
because I don't think
would,
Q's
right?
going to go up to him and say that anyway.
Hey, you want a day off? Now, we will see what the x-ray reveals on Bobby. If you missed the game last night, which many of us did because it was late.
Thursday. It is straight into Houston.
He got hit on the hand. Yeah. And so there was a little concern with that and, you know, visibly shaking the hand. He's going to get an x-ray. We'll talk to Q at 9 o'clock this morning to make sure everything's okay. They believe everything is okay, you know, with Bobby's hand. But we'll talk to the manager at 9 o'clock and get more information on him. We'll get more information on Lorenzen, get more information on Cole Reagans, because those are some serious, serious question marks that we do have right now. As you know, you roll in the first place, and now all of a sudden Lorenzen, who's been one of your better pitchers of the last month or so, he pulled a hammy last night. Reagans had those cramps. Bobby gets hit on the hand. But, you know, I just don't think you give Bobby Witt off at this point in time. There's no reason to give Bobby Witt off. You've got to keep going. I mean, like you haven't accomplished anything yet. And they'll all tell you that. Like, we're tied for first. And I guarantee you that's what, you know, the skipper's going to say at 9 o'clock. Well, let's cool our jets. But you know what? For a city like this that doesn't have a lot of baseball success, we're reveling in this, right? This is our time to celebrate and get excited. And they're going to kind of keep it status quo. But, you know, they're going to tell you, we haven't won anything yet. We got a lot to play. Because if you go out today and you don't put your best foot forward like they like to say, and you lose this game to Cleveland, well, you're no longer in first place, okay? Mm-hmm. So you got to go out there and find a way to take care of business today. And they're going to put their best lineup out there. And they're going to go out there and they're going to go for the win in this series and go for the sweep in this series before they board that flight to Houston. And of course, noon game here on 96.5 The Fan.
Somebody on the 816 says, if playoffs started today, who the Royals be playing in the first round?
I have no idea.
No one. They'd have a bye.
Yeah, they'd be off waiting for the wild card round to finish up.
Correct.
So that's the good spot right now that we are in. And I'm not going to get into who they're going to play in the postseason because it doesn't matter. You've got to figure out a way to finish out the regular season. There's still 29 games to go. Mm-hmm. 29 big games to go, right? Like if you sit back and all of a sudden you're like, all right, smoke a cigarette, put my feet up, grab myself a cocktail. We're in first place, baby.
Hell
you're going to
yeah.
be in third place before the weekend. So you've got to continue to go out there and battle like you've been battling all along. And that's really where it's going to be now up to Q as the manager of this team to say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make these guys focus. I'm going to make these guys, you know, realize that, yeah, we're in first place right now. But the minute we start to take that for granted, that's the minute we wake up and we're not in first place anymore.
Right. So in case you missed it, Royals are tied for first place.
That's right.
They're actually not tied. They have a tiebreaker.
They have a tiebreaker over the Indians. Way to go, Royals. God, it's good.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, guys. yeah, it's great. Yeah, so yeah, first two teams get a bye in the first round, so they wouldn't play anybody. It doesn't matter. But that's what's crazy about when you get more up the ladder.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about
just,
stuff.
Now we're not just scoreboard watching Minnesota and Cleveland.
Not scoreboard watching anything. You control your own destiny.
Well, you scoreboard watch the damn Yankees in Houston now.
You don't have to worry about anybody but yourself, right?
True, but I mean, that's just crazy to think about that. Like, you went from scoreboard watching from your division.
Don't look now. Houston's starting to slump a little bit. Seattle's not as far back as they were.
You're about to face Houston for four straight.
4-6 in their last 10 is Houston.
Yeah, I told you. They're starting to slump a little bit right
Royals
now.
Royals are what, like 8-2?
7-3.
Yeah.
Or that.
Or well, I'll just go 8-2. Sounds better.
Yeah, 8-2, sure.
Yeah. We will promise you this at the start of every hour, so that's real easy to figure out. At 7, at 8, at 9, baseball with the Royals.
That's right.
You deserved it,
mm-hmm.
and you get it. Speaking of deserved and getting something, sad news yesterday, guys. We were surprised by the football information that Kadarius Toney was cut from the Kansas City Chiefs.
We were?
No.
He was cut?
Yeah.
Oh.
There was literally nothing the Chiefs did yesterday that moved the needle for me. There wasn't one move that
Irv
I was surprised.
Smith didn't hit you in the feelings?
Who?
Okay. Justin Ross didn't hurt you in the feelings?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we got to stop falling in love with ancillary below average players.
That's fair. Running backs 2, Carson Steele 1 takes the fullback spot. I thought that was interesting.
because everyone's like RB2, but obviously you can use. They went and got a tight end from Dallas. You hear about this guy from Dallas?
What was his name?
Norgerode Slipknot or something?
Yeah.
Peyton Hendershot.
Cutthroat?
Yeah.
Give me that jersey.
Yeah.
Hendershot.
Never heard of that guy either.
Hendershot. Sounds like a video game character
like
name.
Who? Hendershot. Like, ooh. Yeah, remember that Sonic the Hendershot video game?
Yeah, dude.
Sega back in the day?
Let me tell you about this Hendershot guy.
People breaking down Hendershot on X yesterday cracks me up. What also cracks me up is yesterday's that day for the insiders to fall all over themselves to get a move like the Chiefs have cut. Who's that? Lucas Niang. Like, people are falling all over themselves to get that news first. Like, it doesn't matter who has it first. I mean, it's totally irrelevant. Like, the Chiefs yesterday, I hate to be like this guy, like, there was nothing that we didn't say was going to happen. We told you Sky Moore was making the team. We told you Kadarius Toney wasn't making the team. And the only like name that was even recognizable besides Kadarius Toney on that cut list was Lucas Niang. Mm. But Lucas Niang did it to himself. The guy sat out the COVID year, never came back, and really was ready to go. I think the Chiefs gave that cat more opportunities than they should have. And he'll probably end up maybe on a practice squad here in Kansas City. But, I mean, I wasn't surprised that they moved on from him
either. Who your favorite teammate is? Pat Mahomes.
Is that the greatest moment of Kadarius Toney's tenure in Kansas City?
No. It was the Super Bowl. I mean, really, it was the
play. Who your favorite teammate is? Pat Mahomes.
It was actually this one.
Sipos will punt. End over end, shorter punt. And Toney will take it low at the 35. Now cuts back to the right. He's got a wall set. If he can get to the edge, they need to block the punter. They do. Toney's at the 40, up the sideline. At the 30, he's at the 20. Toney with the block trying to stay in play. He's down to the 5-yard line. Toney ran out of gas on a 65-yard punt return. And the Chiefs lead 28-27. They'll have first down and goal to go at the Eagles' 5-yard line with 10-11 to go in the game.
This is the playmaking ability that we knew Kadarius Toney had. Ooh. If he could stay healthy, he can be an impact, a huge force for this team. Offensively, got the touchdown, special teams as a factor, amazing blocking down the field. Noah Gray, Kemp, special teams.
I'll tell you what, listening to that highlight right there, Mitch was doing a little foreshadowing, Dusty.
Mm.
Kadarius Toney ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And yeah, his career definitely ran out of gas. Like, that was the highlight right there. That was the moment right there for Kadarius Toney. And I'm not going to sit here and say it was a bad trade by the Chiefs at all, because they got Kadarius Toney, made two big plays in the Super Bowl, helped this team win a championship. As far as I'm concerned, it ended up being a good move. It just didn't end up being a good long-term move, you know, for this organization to where we are right now. It didn't pay off for years. It paid off for a Super Bowl. And I'll take that. It's like Christian Cologne, right? Like Christian Cologne, people still get mad that he was picked over Chris Sale in the Major League Baseball draft. Christian Cologne helped you to two world championships or two world series and a world championship by just being in the right place at the right time. Kind of like Kadarius Toney. Every team that wins has those players that randomly show up and make a play that you're kind of indebted to for the rest of your life as a sports fan, you know? And Kadarius Toney will always be that guy who made some nice plays in the Super Bowl. He's also the guy that, you know, just couldn't figure out how to line up on sides.
Yeah, it was just too much. When you're in that sort of position, you know, it's like I've worked with people that have done that. I mean, hell, I almost got fired from this job because I couldn't run a digital board to where the boss said, hey, screw up again, you're gone.
Okay.
And some people, when that happens, either start to kind of make the turn,
mm-hmm.
or some people just don't really ever flourish, and those people end up losing their job. And that's what happened with Kadarius Toney. And I think that, you know, I get also sidetracked by the Carrington take of the Kadarius Toney punt return is that Philadelphia still went down and scored, and then the Chiefs still had to come back the next drive and kick the field goal to win it, which is when the Patrick Mahomes run came. But obviously the impact of the moment, the longest punt return in Super Bowl history, yada, yada, yada. But you say Christian Cologne, and Kadarius Toney gives me like Adalberto Mondesi vibes.
Well, of course, because of the injuries and the inability to stay
and
healthy.
Like, the fact that like going into this being like, okay, it just didn't work out in New York. Like the guy just didn't fit with the team.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that at the time and a fresh start.
Right. And so at that time, I'm like, okay, well, let's just see here. We know the cliches in sports, new face, new place.
Right.
You know, change of scenery can help a guy. You look at the makeup that this guy has, which is another cliche, and you're like, okay, guy's got like 4-3 speed, separation, can get open. And the first glimpse we see of this athlete, he adjusts his gloves in midair and makes a catch and stays in bounds.
Yeah,
and you're
right,
like,
yeah.
Told you.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
You're like, this is, and that's where I like, that's where like Kadarius Toney hit his peak. And you say foreshadowing,
right?
But like, it was only down from that catch. Like after that happened, yeah, the Super Bowl return happens and like, you're like, here we go. And then like a reliever in baseball, it becomes a head game.
Right.
And opening night, Detroit, you got the celebration, the Super Bowl, all the lights and bells and whistles.
Right.
And boom, tip pass, pick six.
Yep.
And maybe that was when it hit him, but that was one of those things where it's like, you know what? Every situation when that happens, Andy Reid finds you again. And the next time it happened to you, you had a chance to, legitimate chance because of what your skill set was, to catch a ball and take it 65 yards for a touchdown. And it's a different story, and the Chiefs win that game. And then it just, stuff like that happened over and over and over again, so far to the point that not only did you break your trust with Andy Reid, you broke your trust and broke the characterization of the quarterback in the league that's always seemed to be cool and you know, just in the moment. And everybody started changing their narrative on Patrick Mahomes. Like, oh, he complains, he cries on the sideline. It's like, no, he's just absolutely frustrated.
No, he got broken on the sideline. Have you ever been broken as a man?
Yes.
Mac, you've been broken as a man. I think we've all reached that point. Way to your parents, you get broken many times a day. So we've all been to that point. That was Patrick Mahomes' breaking point, and they weren't going to allow Kadarius Toney to mess things up again.
The pitch. Swinging a ground ball to third. And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Up the left field line.
Boy.
Third and 15 for the Chiefs from their own 35. And San Francisco leading by 10. 7:13 to go in the game. Seven guys drop back into his deep zone here for the 49ers. Four-man rush, but those four are enough. Here they come. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing long,
and the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
Oh, boy. Hate to see it. But it just, you know, and it, to wrap up the Kadarius Toney subject, and the topic of all this is that the Adalberto Mondesi thing was like, you would watch Adalberto Mondesi play, and he'd go 3-for-4 with a home run and two stolen bases and a double and make it a defensive
play. That
was
like once, you know, like he was unbelievable. He's still the best base runner I've ever seen.
I mean, yeah, I mean, seven's pretty good himself.
He is, but this guy, I mean,
he ever
this,
go for home to third and 11.2?
Yeah, he did faster than that. Okay. I remember watching the one time that he did do that. I was sitting at the K, and I was like, oh, my God. And I even talked to Ned about that. I think it was Ned at the time. May have been Ned. I said, I've never seen anything like that. And he goes, like, it was the one time that Ned actually, like, agreed. You know, like, yeah, I totally agree.
In comes the pitch. Broken bat, one hopper to third. And over to first in time. Runner going to try to score.
And the pass is going to be intercepted off of Kadarius Toney.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to make the roster this year.
Other notable cuts around the league. Frank Gore's son, gone. You, of course, immediately go to your brioche mindset, Mac, and think he'd be amazing to put on the Chiefs.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I mean, one another surprising cut we didn't bring up for KC was Denarik Prince, I thought.
Yeah. They didn't, yeah.
Didn't I keep mean, him.
Carson Steele took his job.
Yeah, I guess.
Kind of. I mean, they didn't have a fullback on the roster last year. They had three running backs.
Yeah.
This year they have two running backs and a fullback.
And a fullback, yeah.
I'm just surprised.
It shows you where that running back position is headed now in this league, though. I mean, seriously, think about it. The Chiefs kept two running backs and a fullback.
Yeah, that's weird. And then there's other teams that kept four great running backs. So it's really, I mean, you have Mahomes, so you get to do a couple of different things. But the fact that, yeah.
But I don't think you need to look at Steele as a fullback. I'm telling you right now, he's running back number two, okay?
Oh, I'd agree. We were the ones telling you that 3 weeks ago.
He's running back number two. He's not a fullback. So, like you can have, like, your FB and what the name next to it and all that kind of stuff. He's your second running back. There's going to be a lot of mixing and matching with him and Pacheco. Like, they really, really like this kid. They're excited about him. Like, they can't wait to get the regular season going to see what him and Pacheco can do as kind of a duo in the backfield. So Yeah, he's definitely not a fullback at all on this roster. And so I think you're probably going to see a lot of games where maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't active, you know, in that situation.
Well, that's my point is why, yeah. Why if that's the case, then why isn't Prince on the team? I mean, Clyde hasn't even played.
Well, because Clyde's got more experience than Prince, and I don't know anything about Prince. And quite frankly, I didn't know who he was until you just mentioned him.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, he's a nobody, guys. Come on.
Clyde's a nobody.
Clyde's still a first-round draft pick that has been in the system for a while. Let's not start like
Tony's a first round draft pick,
but not by this team. He wasn't. Let's not start coveting ancillary players that you recognize names of. Prince Tegawanogo is never going to see the backfield for this team. Okay, it's just not going to happen. Like we got to stop
on the practice squad though. I'm sure he'll clear.
We got to stop worrying about oh my God, Nico Remigio was cut or Amir Smith Marset was traded. Like we're better than those
Don't
guys.
Don't you dare say Irv Smith.
Who?
You be careful with my.
I just get frustrated with the amount of time people want to spend on no name players. They're no name players for a reason. If they were good, they'd be here.
Speaking of well named players, any NFL rostered player, who are you adding to this Chiefs team?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that driving around yesterday. If you could pluck one person off an NFL roster, who mm-hmm. you taking? Yeah. And I'm taking Christian McCaffrey now for this team. I think I think that Christian McCaffrey would be a nice piece for this offense right now. You guys can weigh in on the text line too. Yeah.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. You could add one player of any roster to this team this year. Who would it be? By the way, I had a dream last night about Carson Steele.
You did?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I woke up and thought he was going to be Kyle Juszczyk for the Chiefs.
Oh, my friend Amanda, who cuts my hair, told me she had a dream where she woke up and she was walking down the street with Tyreek Hill and he was wearing high heels.
What?
I said, how did that dream end? She goes, I just woke up and that's all I can remember.
Did she watch Tu Wong Fu before she went to bed?
I do not know what she did before she went to bed.
Do you get that reference, Mac?
No, I don't.
Tu Wong Fu, great movie. Patrick Swayze, Wesley Snipes, and John Leguizamo. To me, the answer is easy. If I could add any player of any roster, give me Sauce Gardner.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's fun.
That's a good one. I like the fact that you went defense. Yeah,
Sauce Gardner and Trent McDuffie on the same team, going up against an offense of any team in the league.
Right.
I love Sauce Gardner. I like his pizzazz. I like his swag. I like the way he plays the game. He's got his own island that he started to create. And
he's
got
a continent, that guy. He's like pretty Australia. Much. You know, like that guy's so good.
And to have cornerback one and cornerback four.
One.
Yeah. At least right now, cornerback five or six, however you look at the rankings, have him and Sauce Gardner team. Nobody's throwing the ball on you.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you've got your defensive line that can give them all the time in the world. Now you're giving Sauce Gardner like an extra second and a half to cover a wide receiver. Game over.
Right.
You're not giving up 10 points a game.
Right. Yeah, no, you're giving up no points a game if you have Sauce Gardner on your team. Some good ones that are coming in to me. I know a lot of people are naming wide receivers. Like, that just seems to be the logical. Like, everybody still thinks. Like, what are these wide receivers going to have to do for you to accept that they're good wide receivers, right? Like, I think we're going to be talking about how we need to upgrade the wide receivers till, you know, the cows come home here in Kansas City, because that's how kind of things take their narrative. Like, we're going to be talking about the Royals bullpen not getting the job done, even though they've given up two runs in the last 17 innings. But I like Breece Hall a lot from the 913.
Ooh,
like, I secretly really, really like that player.
He's amazing.
Like, he's really good. And I don't want to say anything nice about the Jets, and we just did too much nice stuff about the Jets, but Breece Hall would be a nice addition to this lineup. I think he'd be fantastic.
Mac, who you got?
Prime Jamal Charles is not playing in the NFL right now, so.
Give me Amir Smith Marset. No, I'm just kidding. Just piss off Bob. Miles Garrett. I'm going to go defense
as
well.
I like that. That's a good one. Miles Garrett's really good, yeah.
Pass rush, you know, right next to Chris Jones. Yeah. That would just be so scary.
Right. Some people are saying Micah Parsons. Bakenslaw's weighing in on that one. Max Crosby from the 660 is a really good one as well that's coming in. And, of course, the 913, Blake Bortles, because he's the next Tom Brady. Well played.
Hate to see it. I don't know, man. I'd either take Sauce Gardner or I'd take somebody like the text line says, Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase and Patrick Mahomes would just be an absolute deadly combination. Because that'd be the big-bodied, fast, athletic receiver that, golly, you thought Juju was great.
Do you think they're going to break the bank for Ja'Marr Chase this offseason?
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs, I mean.
Oh. If that was the case, I'd sing my own version of Brett Veach. I'd give you verse two of Brett Veach Town.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Jettas or Chase, though?
Chase.
Wow. Interesting.
I mean, dude, when they came out of college, Justin Jefferson was like, hey, dude, you think I'm good? Where do you see the guy that comes out after?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He and was, like, yep. Go back and watch the LSU tapes.
Yeah, but we're 4 years removed now. I've got some NFL tape, and I'm on the NFL landscape. Jettas. I mean,
let's see how he does with Sam Darnold. And I'm not saying
seven games with Nick Mullins and other shit crap quarterbacks. He is.
What did you just say? Did he just say that? What I think
no,
he said. Did
you, no,
did, you
no.
did you dump yourself, sir? That's how you know this show is going well. And I'm being serious about
that's
that.
Awesome. Like, you can be yourself.
You just rolled into your comfort zone like we're sitting on the patio and having a good old time. And that's the appeal of the show.
Did.
And quite honestly, I didn't even really catch it.
Oh, I did.
All of a sudden, I'm like, did he just say that?
Yeah, that's great.
Say that
that means it's probably a good time to bring in a pro of radio, Jay Binkley himself in the flesh.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic.
We'll join him next and ask him when he lost his virginity of on the air of a drop. Jay Binkley joins Bob, Dusty, Mac next at 96.5 The Fan, your home of Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football. College football with Binkley. They're throwing a charm, Thompson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley. Got their chow in, wearing them short, track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce. Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family. B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink. College football with Binkley. They're throwing a Charles Thompson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football with Jay Binkley.
That's right, baby. It's Wednesday. It's football season, and it's Jay Binkley. Binkley, do you remember the first time you ever had to use the dump button on yourself?
Yeah, I could remember. I had hernia surgery, and I came to work that next day, and I had many pain pills, and I dropped an F-bomb just like within 2 minutes of the show. I said, those blanking Chiefs or something like that. And
oh, boy. And you had to dump yourself. Well, good. I'm glad you're not on the pain meds this morning anyway to do that for us. Before we delve into college football, Jay, how about those first-place Kansas City Royals, my friend? That's got to make you feel good today.
Yeah, that was fun, and I can't wait till an Indian or a Guardian gets plunked today, man.
Yeah, right. Somebody better get plunked, and there better be a fight. I was listening to a conversation that George Brett was having with Moose and Haas, and he was talking about those dudes fighting like every game in 14 and 15, and we may see something like that today. Somebody needs to get drilled because they drilled Bobby Witt yesterday. That was intentional, and these guys need to retaliate. They need to go back after them. They need to send a message today. Once you fight somebody, then you got the respect of everybody in baseball.
Yeah, it's like, here the Royals, they're not going to take it anymore. You know, Cleveland's obviously desperate. You know, they know the Royals just snuck up on them and tied them for first place that night. They're upset. Their fans were acting like idiots last night. Cleveland's melting down.
Yeah, they are melting down in a big way, and you could see that coming. Cleveland hasn't been playing good for the past month or so, and the Royals are catching them at the exact right time, and they're keeping a losing team losing. So we'll talk more Royals as we move forward, obviously, all morning long, Jay. But college football begins this week. All three local teams in action to begin tomorrow night with Missouri and Kansas playing their openers. Let's talk about expectations for all three teams. I want you to kind of go through the three teams and tell me what you're really expectations are for KU, K-State, and Missouri.
Well, let's start off with Mizzou. I think last year they kind of set that bar of, you know, how good this team can be, and I thought that was that's what Eli Drinkwitz needed, that type of year, and you know, people buying in the program, the recruiting's been outstanding, and quarterback play, Brady Cook. I mean, you got to look at what Missouri did, and Luther Burden, probably the most explosive player in college football in that offense. Theo Weiss, coming back, a wide receiver too, really every receiver, and also the running game. You know, they get Marcus Carroll coming in here, you know, and Noel, did two transfer running backs, so people might be worried about Cody Schrader being gone. Well, they're supplanting it with two former 1,000-yard rushers in college football, so that bodes well for Missouri. The schedule's tough, but you know what? Even if you lose, like, at Alabama or something, you can almost it's crazy, but you can almost be a 2-3 loss team with a 12-team playoff and coming from the SEC conference and getting in. That may be the only conference you might be able to take that many losses, but at least two. And we're going to see two lost teams in the playoffs all the time, so it could happen. For Kansas, you know, they get started off against Lindenwood.
Tough matchup.
Well, Missouri's playing Murray State. They had two wins last year. Lindenwood had three wins last year. It's a former, you know, Division II team that jumped up, and they're playing an FCS. I mean, all three schools are playing FCS teams, but not a great team, Lindenwood. But this is a good test for Kansas. Maybe. I mean, I think they see harder work in practice than against Lindenwood. But the schedule is very, very favorable for the Kansas Jayhawks this year. And with Devin Neal in the backfield, it's a good offense. You know, don't have the same offensive coordinator they had when Lance Leipold showed up in Lawrence, but still with Jalen Daniels at quarterback and Devin Neal, I expect good things just because the schedule is very, very, very favorable to hit that over. Do I think they're going to hit the over 8.5 wins? Absolutely. Kansas State, I really like, and I know people are really high on Utah, maybe winning the Big 12 conference. You heard Kansas mentioned as well, but Kansas State to me is the most solid team in the Big 12. I mean, you think about that running backs, Dylan Edwards, the former Derby High School player that went to Colorado that they lost and he transferred back to Kansas State. DJ Giddens, one of the top eight running backs in the country, coming back after 1,000 yards last year. And then you have Avery Johnson at quarterback. That is going to be a tough team on the ground. And if they build up a lead with that defense and they can salt it away running the football all the time, I love Kansas State and what they can do. And that game with Kansas, obviously, it's in Manhattan this year. That's why I favor Kansas State.
Bigley, I only bring this up because we did the college football video game tournament. It seemed like after watching, tweets come out about it, Missouri's defense maybe the only question mark. Maybe this team will give a lot of 2018 Chiefs vibes where the offense is immaculate, but the defense could be the, downfall of this team at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They might surprise you. They might surprise you on defense this year. Probably, I'd say, middle of the pack in the SEC.
Okay.
But with that offense, man, that offense is going to be unreal.
Where's your fan base going to be when they go to Tuscaloosa?
Where are they going to go in Tuscaloosa?
No, where's your fan base going to be when they go to Tuscaloosa?
What do you mean, Dustman?
Well, your Alabama Crimson Tide, Mizzou Tigers,
base clashes. Me personally.
Yeah, you personally.
Oh, I thought you were asking a recommendation to Tuscaloosa.
No.
I was going to say Druid Brewing.
Of course.
No, I'm going for Eli Drinkwitz and what he's doing. Nick Saban's now gone.
He is?
My mentor, my idol, it's Kalen DeBoer now, so it's a different team.
Yeah, well, it's a lot different down in Alabama. It's going to be interesting to see if they're able to keep up what they, had under Nick Saban. The dirty little secret is before Nick Saban got there, they were not very good. No. They had a run there where they had some really turd birds as their head coach, and Nick Saban came in and got Alabama back to those Bear Bryant days. But I want to talk about my Buckeyes a little bit. We open against Akron this weekend, a big in-state, matchup with the Buckeyes in Akron. Are they the favorites, in your opinion, to win this college football playoff after spending $20-some million on payroll this offseason?
Yeah, certainly one of the most talented teams in college football, top two most talented teams. Emmanuel Abuka, wide receiver, a couple years ago, you think about the great receivers Ohio State's been putting out, the Garrett Wilsons and Marvin Harrison Jr.'s and stuff like that. Emmanuel Abuka, 2 years ago, actually had a better year than all their receivers. Last year was banged up a lot, or he probably would have gone in the first round had he played last season, but he's coming back and he's a stud. Keyshawn Judkins is a stud running back at Ole Miss, and he transferred to Ohio State. I mean, it's about the transfer portal right now. And of course, Will Howard, who really had to battle his way to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State, right now he's got the fourth best Heisman odds, and I think that's because the byproduct of what the system is. But yeah, and then Jack Sawyer on defense. This was a guy who looked at last year that if he was coming out, going to be, you know, maybe a first or second round edge player. But Ohio State just continues to replace edge players. And the running back, the wide receiver, everything's solid with that team.
Jay, before we let you skate and get out of here, how many of the locals make the college football playoff this year?
You know, I'm going to go on a limb and say two.
Who?
I think Kansas State and Missouri.
Okay.
Mm, sorry, Jayhawks. Oh, well.
What's that?
I said sorry to the Jayhawks, I guess it is.
Well, it's just, yeah. And then when they play Kansas State, Manhattan, things are going to be different. The committee's going to look at that and look at head-to-head and Kansas State be Kansas. I don't know. I really like Kansas State's chances, although the Big 12 is going to be so competitive up and down. I mean, it's going to be tough for Kansas State. I mean, the Big 12 is no joke this year. But I think if you ask me the one lock, I would say Missouri.
Jay, in 10 seconds, give me your bigger game, Mizzou versus Oklahoma or Mizzou versus Alabama?
Oh, Missouri versus Alabama, because I think that that would be huge for the program.
Yeah, of course, you get that win. But, I mean, a little bragging rights with Oklahoma too, right?
Well, sure. But with SEC tradition and Alabama always being that team and always, you know, they've destroyed Mizzou in the past.
Yeah.
And to get that win, it's like when Gary Pink will finally beat Georgia and that parlayed him into the SEC title game that first year, that first of two, but they went to Georgia and won that game, and I think that put the spotlight on Missouri. So I'm going to say Alabama.
All right, Jay, it starts tomorrow, man. We got college football, and we got a first-place baseball team. But brother, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Brother.
5 days, Bob. 5 days in a row of college football.
You got enough beer to get you through beginning tomorrow so you don't have to leave the house? Or do you send your mom out on beer runs?
Yeah. I don't have enough right now, but I use that Hy-Vee delivery.
There you go. You got to use the Hy-Vee delivery, my friend. That's the way to go.
I have two cases coming about 10 a.m. I have a delivery window 10 to 11. So, yes, Hy-Vee will deliver beer with the groceries as well. So that is coming to the house.
Awesome. That is fantastic. You got your chips. You got your dip. You got your beer.
I got everything I need.
All right, Jay, we'll talk to you next Wednesday, man. Be easy.
Hey, see you, Dust, man.
Later. Jay Binkley, every Wednesday. Coming up on the other side, baseball with the Royals, more first-place talk. And, of course, you can hear it all on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.